Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes. Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
You are listening to a Hillbilly Horror Stories classic episode.
What's good, what's good, what's good? This your boy Marcus Harvey from Ghost Brothers.
What's happening, man? It's your boy Daylon Spratt from Ghost Brothers.
And this is Jawan Mass from the Ghost Brothers. We'd like to give a big shout out to the Hillbilly Horror Stories.
Hillbilly Horror Stories, where your stories is from a hillbilly and it's kind of horror-y, because it's Hillbilly Horror Stories.
That was terrible, Daylon.
Yeah. I tried.
Tune into the podcast. We up in here.
Ghost Brothers.
This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
It's about to be a fun ride. Follow along, watch as we slide. Paranormal just hit the lights. Goosebumps all through the night. Mix in just a little bit of twang. That girl sure can't do a thing. Together, hillbillies go insane. Laugh so hard it'll hurt your brain. Podcast you won't ever change. These two here, they got the recipe. Sat on back and listen in to some of our darkest mysteries, ain't?
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. And now here's your host, Jerry and Tracy Pauly, and their dog Ninja.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 111 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
I'm Tracy.
And we've got an action-packed show for you.
Man, we do. We've had an action-packed day.
We literally have. The last 24 hours has been crazy for us in a good way. You know, it's all good stuff. But first and foremost, we want to say thank you to all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent.
Man, thank you guys so much, because I know with all these terrible weather situations going on right now that you guys are working your hearts out and rescuing people that didn't want to leave. And, you know, we totally understand that. But we got many mad prayers going out for you guys, because this has been a horrific week.
Yeah, we actually want to make sure we put the focus on the hurricane victims, especially right there in North Carolina, South Carolina, because they got pounded really hard. Could be days, weeks without electricity in some cases. We know a lot of people had to evacuate from the area. We actually had a couple of listeners send us a message and say that they were had currently evacuated and were in, you know, elsewhere right now waiting the storm out. And so just stay safe out there, everybody. I know it's starting to come to an end now, but now you got all the cleanup and everything to worry about.
Yeah. We got y'all on our prayers, and if we can do anything to help you guys, let us know.
Always want to bring up the suicide prevention hotline here in the United States, 1-800-273-8255. If you're more of a texter, 741-741. I know we bring this up every week. If you got, you know, anything on your mind and you just need to unload, feel free to give any of us a call. Feel free to call that hotline number. Feel free to join us in the Facebook group. If you feel like you need more professional help, Natasha and our group would be more than happy to help you out. If it's a financial situation, you know, as far as being able to get the help, she is more than willing to work with anybody if you need that kind of help. She is on our staff basically now, so it's kind of awesome to have somebody that is professionally trained in that area to be a part of our group that can help out if needed be.
Amen.
With that being said, I know we had a listener that took us up on it, called me on Friday night for about a half an hour, and horrible things have happened to this young lady, and she just wanted to talk about it. And, you know, like I said, by the time we got through, she said she felt a little better, and sometimes that's what it's all about. It's just about being able to just talk to somebody that can listen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always about talking. It's about listening.
Absolutely.
So, once again, if you need us for that, we will be there for that. So, you heard the Ghost Brothers at the very beginning.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I did. And they were so fun today.
Yeah, we got to hang out with them for a little bit today. And they're going to come on the show probably in October. So, we'll have mm-hmm. a whole bunch of special guests in October. We're working on Kim Russo, the medium.
Mm-hmm.
She was super nice. We had a chance to talk to her. Shawnee Smith said she's going to come on, which you'll know from the Saw movies. We got the Ghost Brothers, and we got Chip Coffee that we're trying to get set up. But we've been trying to get Chip set up for about 27 years. And he's got
such
a busy schedule, it makes it extremely tough. But we do have some cool things working for you guys. So
yeah, absolutely. And it was just so much fun getting our pictures made today with everybody. The Saul dude.
Yeah, Tracy latched onto Tobin Bell like he was getting ready to run away or something, and just basically forced him to hug her. He did not want to hug you.
He started
to
hug me before. You don't even know.
I think you were groping him.
I probably was, but that's okay because he was extra cool, extra nice, and I loved every minute of it.
Well, I'm glad you did.
I did. It was just, oh my gosh, it was just a fun day.
Yeah, it was. Now, we wanted to just say, We ran into Jack Kenna, our old buddy. He wants to come back on the show again soon, too, so we'll get him on it. We're going to get Steve Asher on. We got a bunch of good guests getting ready to come on the show. I know mm-hmm. we haven't had any for a while, but we got a bunch getting ready to come on the show. And Jack's just going through some medical situations, so we just wanted to send out a nice little prayers and thoughts to Jack to get well soon.
Thanks. We're praying for you, buddy.
All right. So.
Needle and thread.
We were going to do, because we kind of leaked this out at the beginning of the week, we were going to do the...
Slender.
We were not going to do the Slender. What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, you know what? Eddie was talking about him today. Eddie was saying the Slender Man. I guess that's why I had it on my brain.
We were going to do Skinwalker Ranch this
week.
Oh,
yeah, Skinwalker. Slender, and, skin,
yeah,
it's all the same.
It's nothing the same. So we were going to Skinwalker Ranch, and that is a story that has so many different multiple facets, much like the Bridgewater Triangle. And, man, timing couldn't have been worse for me at work. I was working all week long, no time to be able to get any of the amount of research done that I wanted to do. Tanya, who's been a huge help to us, had a week to where she bought and closed on a house and then started moving.
Yeah.
And it just, for both of us to get the research done that it would have taken for that show, we just decided to scrap it till next week. So we're still doing it, but we'll do it next week. And I thought, well, what are we going to do this week? Well, lo and behold, sometimes things are right in front of your face.
In your face.
We,
all up in your
We went to New Orleans. We had a couple of friends that we met down there, new friends.
Yeah.
And they're paranormal investigators. And they had told us back then that they had tickets for like a special ghost tour of Buffalo Trace Distillery. And it's been featured on Ghost Hunters and a couple other sites and stuff like that. But we've never been there. And it's literally 30 minutes from our house.
Seriously.
So we decided that why don't we do the story on that? Because there's very little out there on the story.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Ghost Hunters episode. And that was from, I think, 2011 or 2012.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And there's really not much out there. So I thought, well, this would be actually a cool story we could do. And knowing that we were going to go there, that we would get some other tidbits from mm-hmm. the tour. So that's what the story is going to be about tonight. It's Buffalo Trace. But then we've also got a listener who had mentioned to us about a hospital, a haunted hospital in Kentucky. So we decided to dig that one up. It's not a long story, but we throw that in there too.
Oh, sounds great.
And as usual, we will get to Patreon and iTunes a little later in the show.
But
thank all of you guys. I did want to touch on, because we talked about the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
We did an episode, I think it was episode 31, on the Gray Man of Polly's Island.
Yes.
And that was a scenario where you have a man that shows up before huge weather situations, usually hurricanes, tropical storms, or something like that. But he shows up on the beach and shows himself to people. Mm-hmm. And the legend goes that if you see him, first of all, get the hell out of town because there's going to be a hurricane or something.
Right.
But second of all, if you're lucky enough to see him, that your property will not be damaged. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the gist of it without getting into all the details. You can go back and listen to the whole episode if you want to get all the details on it. But there was a gentleman by the name of Ryan Fontaine. And I'm not sure what he does. He's got some kind of business up on Polly's Island. And he said one of the regulars said that he and a group of five people walking on the beach saw the gray man on Polly's Island back on September 8th. And so he said it was time to start packing his bags. And
like this September 8th?
Yeah, right before this hurricane.
Oh, no way.
So it's just, he said it's a story he heard growing up. And he told Yahoo Lifestyle that he thinks everyone in the Lowcountry has actually heard the story, especially when hurricanes or tropical storms begin to form in the area. It's always something you hear people bring up. He said it's a friendly entity, though, and not that it's a good thing to see him, but someone does claim to see him. It gives the locals an idea of what they're dealing with. So I thought it was kind of cool that it did come up. Now, you could be skeptical and say, well, everybody knew this hurricane was going to come, so they just made it up. But who knows?
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought it was a cool story since it was topical to bring up now.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
All right. So are we ready to get into Buffalo Trace?
I was just in Buffalo Trace.
I'm aware of that. And we got plenty of pictures that we took from there.
We did. And some good whiskey.
Yeah, they let you have some whiskey tasting at the end of the night, which I did not partake in.
Because he's boring.
Yeah, ask Tracy what she partook in. One of the four samples that they were going to try to give her.
But I did have two bourbon balls, so in your face.
Yeah, and if I'd have drank some, I'd have had two bourbon balls.
What did I have? The
it's some kind of
something cream. I can't even remember the name of it. Man, that was some good stuff there. That was good. I just don't like that.
Yeah, be careful of that because you don't want to just be drinking buffalo cream.
Oh, man.
That might not be what you think it is.
Why would you be so nasty?
I'm just saying.
Ew.
Now, see, you turned it into a...
You did. No. With your balls.
All right, can we get on to the subject?
Yes.
I have people complaining already. It took us too long to get into the subject because you want to talk about balls.
Oh, but it's a funny word.
All right, Buffalo Trace is in Frankfort, Kentucky, which is the capital of Kentucky, and it's about 30 minutes from our house. Pretty cool. Ghost Hunters came there season 7 back in 2011, and they're most known for making Buffalo Trace Kentucky Straight Bourbon. Oddly enough, that was introduced in 1999, which is less than 20 years ago. I mean, you would think that something that they're as well known for wouldn't have been just 20 years old, but because this place has been around for roughly 200 years.
Oh, gosh, forever ago.
Like I said, so I say oddly enough because distillery, or I shouldn't say distillery, but distilling, because at one point they were doing it without a, just like with stills and stuff out there, without there really being a building there. But this went all the way back since 1775, at least on the property. So that's when Hancock Lee and his brother decided that they were going to start up distilling there. And it was like illegal moonshining and stuff like that.
The good stuff.
But then one of the brothers died in 1776. And
wait, what happened in 1776?
Oh, that's when the country fought for its independence. But
I knew it was something big.
The first actual distillery was constructed in 1812 by Harrison Blanton. In 1870, the distillery was purchased by Edmund Taylor and given its first name, Old Fire Copper Distillery. They did that because they were using these big copper tanks and stuff to do the distilling because they thought that was a better process and gave it a better flavor. So Taylor then sold it 8 years later to George T. Stagg, along with the Old Oscar Pepper Distillery. Good old Oscar Pepper. So the Old Oscar Pepper was sold within the year, so Stagg could pretty much buy more land and just expand the Old Fire Copper. So he didn't really care about the other one. He just bought it and sold it for the extra money. In 1886, Stagg installed steam heating in the storage warehouses, which is kind of significant because at the time, that was the first climate-controlled whiskey warehouse in the country.
Wow.
So,
steam.
Steam. Mm. So after Stagg bought the distillery, Edmund Taylor continued to kind of oversee it and run the plant for him.
Right.
So he was the previous owner, but he stayed on. Stagg let Taylor modernize the plant, and working together, the two men built the most dominant American distillery of the 19th century. In 1904, the name changed to the George T. Stagg Distillery. There's a fun fact for you. The distillery was one of only four distilleries in the U.S. that was allowed to operate during Prohibition. And the reason, it was that they made whiskey for medicinal purposes.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know how that works, how you can use whiskey for medicinal purposes.
I do. You drink that whiskey and the pain goes away. Ta-da!
Well, I'm sure that's pretty much along the lines of what it really was. So, Buffalo Trace has long been recognized for making some of the finest bourbon to actually come out of Kentucky, but perhaps there is a little paranormal in their success. Rumors have circulated for years that the distillery is haunted and the ghost of Albert Bacon Blanton still roams the halls of the buildings. How do you have a middle name of Bacon?
Well, I don't know, but you can't go wrong no matter what you do with Bacon.
He's better known as Colonel Blanton. Now, it's not surprising when you think about it, because he started working at Buffalo Trace in 1897 as an office boy when he was just 16 years old. We found out last night that right across the street is where he was born and raised and mm-hmm. lived. So his entire life
was right there
within a couple blocks of each other. So over the next few years, he worked in every department of the distillery. He got really pretty damn good at all the departments, at learning all the facets of the business, period. And they made him a superintendent of the distillery at the age of 20.
That's amazing.
Yep. He was actually in charge of the distillery, the warehouse, and the bottling shop. So, I mean, that's like the whole kit and caboodle. By 1921, he was the president of the whiskey plant. So he remained president until his death in 1959. He was 78 years old. So it's possible that his spirit might not want to leave, since that's basically the only place he's ever known.
Ever known all of his life, yeah. He was a handsome man, too.
Yeah, I can see that.
Absolutely.
In 1999, new distillery renovations were completed and renamed Buffalo Trace Distillery. So that's when it became Buffalo Trace. Rumors of ghosts were all around the place. There's a stone house called the Riverside House. It's been the site of several encounters. One of the supposed ghosts is Edmund Taylor Jr. His spirit has been seen peering out the upstairs window. He's still keeping an eye on the business that he helped make a huge success. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's awesome.
People have also reported seeing a young boy in the house. No one is really sure who the young boy is. Then you have Stony Point Mansion. We got a chance to go in Stony Point yesterday.
Yeah, it's really neat.
And I've actually got some video that we took of the tour guide that we'll post on our Patreon account. Buffalo Trace sits on a 125-acre property, and the mansion was actually built there by 1934 by Colonel Blanton himself.
Yes, he built that house himself.
They said he pretty much designed the house, even though he had no experience in it whatsoever.
No experience at all. He did a good job, too.
He did. Employees have heard footsteps echo throughout the house that they attribute to Colonel Blanton. He's also been seen in the sunroom, which is subsequently the room that he passed away in. He's often seen wearing his signature bowler hat.
Mm-hmm.
And humming can also be heard in the house. But employees say that it's not Blanton doing the humming. They say that it's his longtime housekeeper, Sarah. So there's also reports of hearing furniture being moved. So maybe Sarah's doing some cleaning too.
Yeah.
The basement here has a cold, almost icy feel to it at times, even during the hotter months. Most people who visit the basement get a very uncomfortable feeling and do not remain in there for very long. Now, we got a chance to go down in the basement.
Yes, we did.
And it was pretty cool. So I'll tell you a couple of stories about that we found out last night.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a girl named Elizabeth, and she got a... it's important to know right now that mansion has pretty much been turned into offices for the executives and for some of the other people that do work for the executives. So,
right. He did build that house for his wife.
Right.
And then I guess after he passed away, she moved out.
Right.
But you know what? I thought that was kind of rude. I don't remember recalling what they said why she moved out.
Well, I mean, they said that it's possible that he might have shown himself to her a few times.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And she's like, yeah, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
And then she moved out. But I was like, dang, he built this whole nice house for you and everything. But then, like Jerry said, after she moved out, they kept it and made offices out of it.
Yeah, they tried to keep as much of it the same as it was originally.
And it, I mean, I don't know what it looked like back then, but it don't look like they did much to it.
No, well, they said they just added the modern conveniences, like internet and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, like air conditioning and stuff.
Air conditioning.
A ceiling fan.
Well, and what was funny about this, because I asked a question on, you know, he was, I know he was the president of the company and stuff, but how are you able to just build a mansion on a property?
Mm-hmm.
But we told you that they were one of four companies that were, four distilleries that was able to keep working during Prohibition. All the other distilleries, people lost their jobs.
Right.
And they said that the because he was able to fight and get them set up to be able to still produce for medicinal purposes, these people kept their jobs. And this land wasn't part of the distillery at that time. It was just an open piece of land, I guess, that sat next to the distillery.
Yeah.
And all of his workers were so thankful for what he was able to do and grateful that they took up like donations mm-hmm. and used that money to buy that land and gave to him.
I know.
As a thank you.
That was so nice. That was so nice.
So that's how, he was able to build the house mm-hmm. on the property. And then, but yeah, it's an awesome house. So the story was Elizabeth gets a promotion. She's over at the main plant. And she's able to now move over there. And they don't work on Sundays there at all. They don't do tours. They don't do anything. It's completely off on Sundays. She decided she was going to go over there. She had a key. And she was going to set her office up because she knew Monday she had to get right to work.
Right, with her new job.
So she was going to go in Sunday. She gets there. She walks up to the front door. And she notices a man standing in the front window. Mm-hmm. And she waves and, you know, figures there's somebody in there. She goes to open the door thinking somebody's going to be in there. The door should be open. And it's not. It's locked.
No, it was still locked.
So she unlocks the door. She goes in. She looks down to the left where she thought she saw the person. She didn't see anything. Then she thinks she hears footsteps going up the stairs. So she goes up the stairs. She looks around. Nothing. No lights on. All the doors are closed and locked. So she's like, well, maybe there were footsteps going downstairs to the basement. She goes downstairs. Nothing. So then she's freaked out to the point where she just says, to hell with it, I'm not going to clean the office or set my office
up.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm just going to go on home. So she goes home, and then she comes in that Monday, and she asks, you know, she's asking around her coworkers, hey, who was here on Sunday? And they're like, nobody's here. Nobody comes in on Sunday. You were going to be the only one that had a key that was coming in. And then when they told her, she explained what the situation was. They said, well, it sounds like you've met Mr. Blanton, Colonel Blanton. So that was one of the first stories that they told that I didn't have any kind of research on.
Oh, man, that would be so neat. But I would be a little freaked out myself.
Oh, I guarantee.
Yeah.
So then we're going to move on to Warehouse C. And Warehouse C is where they keep all the barrels at, which is pretty awesome if you've never seen it.
I have never seen anything like that, and it was really very cool.
I mean, it's literally stacks and stacks and stacks of barrels, all set up in a special way where you can get behind each row so they can go in and check for leaks and stuff.
Did you see that one barrel we were standing by that had that was tagged experiment?
Yeah,
do not use experimental or something.
Yeah,
like
I took
that.
A picture of it.
Oh,
actually.
Did you?
Yeah, so it'd be one of the ones I posted.
Oh,
tonight.
Cool.
And we found so much about, you know, the aging of bourbon and how they work it and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It was a really cool experience. So they're in this warehouse, right? And the employees, they have to go through these little, I don't think I took any pictures of this, but it's just a little pathway in between each set of barrels. And it's just a board back there. And you just walk along the board and it gives them just a chance to be able to see, you know, barrels on both sides of them to see if anything's leaking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they do is just continuously check those. And they said those people have seen apparitions and heard all kinds of strange noises in that place.
Mm-hmm.
The best story, though, happened several years ago. Now, Freddie Johnson is a tour guide there. His father and grandfather both worked at the distillery. His father oversaw every millionth barrel.
That is crazy.
Since Prohibition all the way up to the ninth millionth.
Isn't that the craziest thing? Man, yeah, you'd think he'd be sick of seeing that, for real.
You would think so. But the ninth millionth barrel was commemorated in 2011, and he died shortly after that.
No.
So he got a chance to see that at the age of 94.
Wow.
And I was listening to Freddie himself tell a story about his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Freddie is probably, I guess, maybe late 60s, early 70s mm-hmm. by now. But, you know, he had left, a really smart guy, had left, went to New York. And I think it was AT&T is who he was working for. But he had, like, master clearance and, you know, all these master passwords and stuff like that, that you had to be a top dog to get.
Oh, wow.
And
you go pretty.
His dad and brother were both diagnosed with cancer the same week.
You're kidding me.
So Freddie decided to come back.
Aww.
And then he started working for the distillery. And so after this barrel, this 9th-millionth barrel, you know, he's sitting there. And he said one day he was at home and his dad, he was getting ready for work. And his dad said, goodbye, son. And he said he just kind of looked at him like, that's odd. It's just because that's not something his dad would normally say. And he said, I'll be back. And he said, okay. And he said later that day, when he returned back from work, his dad opened his eyes. And he said, well, you kept your promise. And then he passed away a few minutes later.
That's what made me cry.
Yeah, it was really sad. And I know that has nothing to do with the story.
I know, but, well, that's really heart-touching.
I just thought it was an interesting story. Aww. So this story, though, involves Freddie's grandfather.
I want to say one thing.
Yes.
I love my daddy. Okay, go ahead.
This story involves Freddie's grandfather. Now, he was running a crew up on the second floor. Well, let me talk about the way this is set up, too. So we talked a little bit about the warehouse. What I didn't know when I wrote this out, we learned more afterwards, but when I wrote this out yesterday, I was unaware of some of the stuff. The warehouse looks like that it's 4 stories on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually 6 stories.
That is crazy.
And it's like, how the hell you do that?
Yeah, we was like, how do you do that?
And they said when ghost hunters came in there, they were like, hey, we'll take this warehouse and do that because it's only 4 stories, so we should be able to, you know, work it. When they got in there and found out it was 6 stories, because when they do the warehouses for these barrels and their storage of them, they can't put that much weight on each floor because each one of these barrels weigh 550 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's literally thousands in there. So when I show you some pictures later that we post, it'll make more sense to you about how they're set up. But what happens is everything in there is made out of wood, and they put these barrels in there, and they're afraid that everything weighing what they do, that the outside structure, if it came down, so would everything inside.
Yeah.
So they basically build the inside, and then they do a brick structure on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really, the brick structure is just like a facade.
Like a shell, sort of.
Yeah,
I guess,
it's
like a shell.
It's not really meant to do anything except basically looks and keep the weather out.
And no smoking.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Or
this place burnt down twice in, I think it was 1840 and 1850.
Wow.
So the building that's there now was the one that was built after that.
Mm-hmm.
So alcohol is flammable.
Oh, yeah, in case y'all didn't know.
So anyway, so that's how that was built. So this will come into the story. So what happens is his father, and this supposedly was back in the 30s, his grandfather back in the 30s, he had a crew, and what they would do is bring the barrels in and put the barrels up on the shelves and all that stuff. Well, apparently there was a foreman that was trying to dictate something he really didn't know about.
He was new, right?
Yeah.
He's kind of a new foreman.
Yeah, it's kind of a new foreman. And what happens is you have to keep this place balanced. So all these barrels and all this weight, if you take something out of the front, you got to take something out of the back to balance it out.
Yeah.
And he said, this guy said, hey, we need you to take all these out of the back and load it into the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And Freddie's grandfather was like, well, he knew there was 2 trucks coming.
Right.
So he said they would just wait. And when the 2 trucks got there, then they would do both of them at the same time. Well, the foreman was like, no, you need to be working, not standing around.
Right. He's like, the truck is on its way. And
yeah, go ahead and start loading these barrels. Now, Freddie was African-American and back in the 30s and having a great job. He wasn't going to put up much of a fight. So he did as he was told. So they load these barrels up and they're done. Him and his crew are done. They decide to take a break. Well, outside of the building on this back wall where they just got through unloading this stuff, it's about the only place around there where there was any shade that was close.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where most of the people went and took their breaks at. So mm-hmm. I think there were some tables and stuff set out there. And Freddie decided that he was going to go walking around on the premises just
checking
on his break.
Out.
Yeah, just walk around. And so most of his crew were back there along the wall, the back wall of this. And we're talking about the brick wall part, obviously. He says as he's walking around, he hears something say, move. He wasn't sure where it came from. He's looking around. He thought maybe he was in somebody's way, but there was nobody around. So he has no clue where this was.
Mm-hmm.
So he just kind of ignores it and keeps moving on. He says, then something with a little more urgency says, get your crew out of there. And he said he wasn't going to tempt fate. So he ran back to where his crew was and told all of them they needed to get away. He said, look, there's a shade tree just up a little bit. Let's go over there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they start going towards the shade tree. And about that time, from it being unbalanced inside, all these barrels and stuff, part of the structure broke. And these barrels and stuff, 550 pounds apiece, all start rolling right towards that wall.
Oh my gosh.
And it busts through the wall, through all the brick and all that. And if his people hadn't moved.
It probably would have killed them all.
Yeah, at least somebody would have
died. Oh yeah. Oh my gosh, what an angel he was.
So that was kind of the crew story that I thought was pretty awesome from there.
And so, then I would have said to that foreman, told you so, bitch, why don't you listen? Now look.
So if you go back and watch the Ghost Hunters episode on there, he tells a really short story of that, mm-hmm. but that's all the details that's not on the story.
How scary is that?
So then you got Amy Preske, who was the public relations manager there. She's one of the people that has an office over at Stone Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I'm Stony Point, I don't know where I got Stone Ridge from. But anyway, she said up in her office, one night she was sitting there about 6 months before Ghost Hunters got there. She said she was working at nighttime. She was all by herself. And she heard something whisper her name. And then she heard squeaky footsteps going up some steps.
Oh, my gosh.
But she was scared to death.
I would have been, too. And you know, that's the terrible part. You can hear those things, and you can be scared, but guess what? You can't lock them out. They'll just walk right through your dang door. So you can't escape.
But they always do in the movies. They always try to lock them out.
I know, and it's dumb, but go ahead, sorry.
So then you got Adam Huff. Him and his mother were both janitors at Stony Point. And one night, they came in to do a little bit of cleaning. His mother had just walked in, and she started walking to the top of the stairs, and she heard a commotion going on. So she went down to the sunroom, and she saw a silhouette of a man.
Mm-hmm.
He had a hat and a long overcoat on. She went screaming from the room. So later on, she saw a picture of Colonel Blanton, and he was wearing a hat and an overcoat.
Oh, has she not seen him before? Oh, my goodness.
No, she hadn't seen him before. Now, while we were in Stony Point last night, remember they told the story that there's a big conference room that we got to sit in, which we took some pictures. And they said that, like a lot of times, they would straighten the chairs up at the mm-hmm. big conference table because there's like 10 or 12 chairs at this big conference table. They would straighten the chairs up and go upstairs and they'd come down and they'd all be a mess.
Like somebody'd been sitting in them again.
So that was kind of cool. And then they were also talking about the fact that they have a 102-year-old relative.
Oh, still alive, yeah.
Still alive mm-hmm. that lives across the street to Colonel Blanton's relative. I think it's his niece is what they said. And they go over there all the time when they've got questions. Like there's a little girl who's seen there. And they go over and ask questions. But that's the story that's one of the stories that's in the video that I'm going to post on mm-hmm. Facebook. So you guys will be able to hear that.
Now, how nice is that they can actually run, you know, go talk to somebody that's still, that's lived through all that and can answer their questions like that. I just think it's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. So back in 2012, they do a light up the distillery for Christmas and stuff like that. People will come up here and they take a bunch of pictures and stuff like that. There's a picture of somebody standing in the window in mm-hmm. an upper level where it was just storage at that time. Mm-hmm. So nobody went up there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to find that picture because I haven't had a chance to look for that one yet. But that's a really creepy picture because it definitely looks like a person.
Is that the one, the pictures that were on the wall? Because see, I didn't even really get to see those.
I took some pictures of those, but I don't know how they
turned out. Okay.
Yeah. Tour guide Jimmy Carey said that one night in February of 2011, they couldn't even get into the mansion. They had 9 keys and 3 different doors and not a single key would open any door. So they had to do the ghost tour out in the parking lot.
What? That part of it. You mean the ghost had the locks changed? Now, that is funny there. That's kind of funny.
But anyway, that's the story that we have on Buffalo Trace.
It was so fun. And I'm telling you, the way that they have the barrels and talk about that bourbon being in there for like 10, 12 years, that just is mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, this is, I'll give you a little, not the lesson, because I sure as hell don't know anything about it, but I'll give you a little bit of what the questions that we asked. So they take these barrels, and this floor's got six different levels, right? Six different floors. But each one, because heat rises, each floor is hotter than the other.
Mm-hmm.
So like they'll have these barrels for this type of whiskey or bourbon will be on the first floor, and it'll be there for 10 years. And then the ones on the second floor for 8 years, the ones on the third or fourth floor for like 5 years. And the reason they do that is they said that it can't sit any higher on those, any longer on those higher floors, because it gets so hot that it'll evaporate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they can't age that stuff any longer.
That's
but it does age quicker because of the heat. And they said all this bourbon is completely clear when it's put into the barrel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what happens is the barrels are made out of white oak, and the longer that it sits from the breathing of the barrel, from the expanding and inexpanding from the heat, it causes the flavor that's in the barrel goes into the liquid, which gives it its color and its flavor.
That is so crazy.
75% of the flavor that you get from bourbon
is
from the barrel.
Wow.
The wood.
That is just amazing.
So that's what the whole aging process is. Mm-hmm. It's basically letting more stuff from the barrel get into the liquid. So
I know. That's really cool. I was thinking, dang, I mean, Dakota wasn't even born when most of those barrels were in there. I mean, when you think about it that way, but it's really good stuff, so.
Yeah, and I always ask, you know, I think, well, how in the hell do you start a business where you're like, well, let's get this whiskey in the barrels, and in 10 years we can sell some of it?
I know, that would be kind of depressing.
but they do the vodka and stuff that they can distill.
Yeah, they do vodka
and sell
there
it immediately.
Yeah.
And they said that some places, if they're just starting out, they'll buy their whiskey from somewhere else that's already aged and just put their name on it. Or they'll start aging right away.
Yeah.
But they'll have stuff that's 2 years age, so they can start selling that stuff in 2 years. So it's tough to get started, but they'll take the stuff that they can immediately distill and put out to make money right now while they're waiting on the other. So it's not something you're going to make a fortune on right off the bat, but 10, 12, 13 years.
I mean, it's a really nice place, too. The grounds are real beautiful. The trees are cool and stuff. And people have weddings out there. So they do a lot of events.
A lot
and
of gardens
as well
and stuff like that. This is also, if you're familiar with whiskey and bourbon, this is where Pappy Van Winkle is distilled at, which is, I think, the most expensive bourbon. And if you go back and do some research here in the last couple of years, there was a bunch of bottles that were stolen from there, and it was literally like 20 bottles, but it was like $10,000 worth of bourbon.
Goodness.
Or something like that. I'm probably off on the numbers, but it was a major story here. And then when you talk to like Freddie Johnson, who's been out there forever, he says that there's like a big honor code among everybody, and they felt like that was an inside job.
Oh.
So it was like very disheartening to them to think
that
one of their own would have done so. I know they were blaming a principal in Bardstown at one point.
You know, I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, this was just like 2 years ago. So if you look up Pappy Van Winkle stolen, it's a kind of a cool story, but it was a major deal because it's worth so much money.
Well, good. So you guys, if anybody is ever through the Frankfurt area, y'all should stop by and see it. It's really something.
So, okay. Let's do.
And they have good bourbon brittle.
Yeah, they had everything. Bourbon balls,
so
bourbon brittle,
good.
Bourbon pancakes.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but go ahead.
Anyway, let's go ahead and do our Patreons.
Okay.
We want to thank you for our new Patreon supporters this week. Lindsay Sutton, Sheila Perkins, Stephen Simmons, even though you live in West Virginia, Amy Smith, and Kelly Rang.
What's that got to do with anything?
Oh, it's something we go back and forth on
Facebook.
Oh, he's a Mountaineer.
Oh, okay.
I don't hold that against him.
Of course not. Well, we appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for your patronage, and we love you guys to pieces. And
hopefully you liked your rock and roll in the occult episode that came out last night.
Oh, yeah. I hope so.
Because everybody keeps asking for one of those, and I've already said I'm not going to do them on the regular shows anymore because, for whatever reason, people
like them. Well, I think they're interesting.
No, I mean, a lot of people like them. That's a lot of people's favorites. But when it comes to the major listening base that we have. The numbers always go down when we do
that.
Oh,
really?
So
yeah.
I think some of the people who listen that like it, that's their favorite episodes, but most people, I think, would rather hear something else. So
we're here to please you guys, so that's what we need to do.
And that's what we did. We did it on Patreon.
Exactly, and I enjoyed it,
And while actually. You're on the subject of thinking you need to please people, you need to stick up to your end of the bargain. All right, so iTunes, we only had two this week. That's the lowest I remember in forever.
Oh, well, that's okay. We appreciate you guys so much for taking your time out, because we know you guys are so busy.
Like, you know how busy everybody is.
Everybody is busy. They have a life.
So we got Jade Rios 21 and Mullinek.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate your kind words.
I know somebody had a mole on their neck. I had a mole on my neck.
I did, too, one time.
So,
but I don't think it's the same thing.
It's probably not. All right.
We appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. So we're going to do this little story on Hayeswood Hospital.
What's it called?
Hayeswood.
Oh, Hayeswood. Okay.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
So we were looking for a little smaller story in Kentucky to kind of go along with the Buffalo Trace story. And I remember that Brandy Hester requested this a few days ago. Mm-hmm. So don't think if you put a story in it, it might be weeks before it gets to it, because this was literally like 2 or 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. And we jumped all over it. So I thought it'd be a perfect fit. So she suggested Hayeswood Hospital in Maysville, Kentucky. It's a large 4-story brick building that's been vacant since 1983. That's quite a while.
There's been like nothing there?
Nothing. And we'll get to why in here in a second. Oh. But even though it's been vacant for that long, it's still in pretty good shape on the outside. It's got some broken windows, which you would expect.
Well, yeah.
But most are in pretty good shape, especially like up on the second floor. Inside, though, is a whole different story. The inside is a complete mess. It would literally take $1 million to clean it up. And that's been already because a price
of,
given.
Because of vandals or something? Or no?
Probably a combination of vandals and just overall weather. And,
oh, well.
I mean, when you let something sit for 25 years, and nothing's going on in there, there's no maintenance at all, you could imagine.
Well, yeah, but there
happen.
Shouldn't have to be maintenance if nobody's in there.
No, I mean, things just
but
happen.
People break the windows and the weather gets
in. And the weather
in
and all that gets in.
Critters and varmints and sure. Everything else.
I'm sure. All you had to say was varmints, and Ninja gets all
it.
Uppity.
I know.
The preservation
You should leave that on there.
Fine,
take two.
I will then.
Take two.
The Preservation Society has been trying for years to get it renovated into either retail space or apartments. And that's kind of what they did to the old Maysville High School that was there. They kind of took over and did that same thing. So this land has had some type of a medical facility on it since the 1800s. The Wilson family built a small medical facility known as the Wilson Infirmary, and it was ran by May Pearl Wilson. She died in 1908, and then the hospital was closed and torn down to make room for a new hospital that was built in 1915. It was originally called Hayeswood Seminary, but the name got changed to Hayeswood Hospital in 1923 to reflect that it was a full-service facility. It made two additions onto the main facility in 1925 and again in 1971. In its prime, it had 87 beds, which was plenty of room for a small community. But it wasn't really plenty when it came to the 1980s because it was a bigger, you know, growing area. So
it
needed something a little better. So besides being too small to handle the growing community and no more room to expand, the location also was like really hard to get to for an emergency because the streets were really narrow and there was no room at all to make the streets wider. So
it
wouldn't handle the traffic. So instead, they opened a new hospital called Meadowview Regional Center and it's on the outskirts of town, and they closed Hayeswood down. So after 11 years of being vacant, the property was sold at auction to Esther Johnson, and she had some connection to Classic Properties, and that's a company that was specifically formed to take care of all the buildings and like that were historical like that, mm-hmm. transform them into something for new use. Mm-hmm. And that's the same group who transformed Hayesville High School into apartments that we talked about a little bit earlier. But this time they had some financial problems, and they offered to sell it to the city for $55,000. The city thought about it, but then they didn't want the $1 million price tag to clean it up, so they declined.
$55,000? That's all?
Yeah, well, yeah, but they were going to spend $1 million just to clean it up.
Yeah, that's
true. And then that's not even counting, mm-hmm. you know, any construction to make it into something. That's all it would have been. So they just decided that it wasn't worth it. So now there's pretty much nothing, but it's just sitting there.
It's just sitting there still to this day.
So there's no money to do anything with it, and it's going to cost a fortune to even tear down. So it just sits. So hospitals are often places of saving lives, as you would know, but it's also a lot of death and pain and suffering that goes on there. So that opens the possibilities of spirits wandering around, mm-hmm. as you would expect. These entities can be patients, but also employees that are dedicated to helping others. You know, they dedicate their entire life to helping people that were with their medical needs. So it makes sense that they may come back and try to help each other when they're passed on. So as far
I just can't believe in today that somebody can't afford to just do something with that.
Are we still on that?
Well, it just bugs me.
It's a small town. Where do you think that money's going to come from?
Well, I don't have to be somebody that lives there. I mean.
Well, so somebody out of state is going to come in and buy an old school that needs $1 million worth of work?
Well, I mean, I think they could just make something of it instead of just sitting there.
You say that, but that's easier said. How do you can't just make something of it?
Well, then just tear it down.
It costs a lot of money to tear it down, too.
Burn it.
So if it's going to cost money to tear it down, it's going to cost money to fix it. Why not just leave it there and not spend any money?
Because you could put something else there that you people could
We're
use.
We're not going to keep going in circles.
Okay.
So as far as hauntings, people have reported the feeling of being watched inside and outside of the building. Neighbors report seeing glowing lights up in the windows. And there's even been numerous reports of an apparition in the last third floor window. I don't know why it's always that one, but that's the one mm-hmm. everybody seems to see someone at. There's also been reports of shadow people presumed to be ex-patients. I don't know how you know a shadow person would be a patient from a...
I don't... And that, what the heck's an ex-patient got to do with it?
Well, they're not going to be a current patient.
Well, I understand that, but you should... I mean, people know that listening to the story, I'm sure.
There's also a lot of audible manifestations, crying babies, disembodied voices, moans of suffering long dead echo throughout the entire hospital. There's also tales of a disastrous labor situation where the mother and a baby died. Because of that, there's the entity of a woman carrying a newborn baby that has been seen walking through the maternity ward. So maybe she's just trying to show her family or she's trying to go home. Who knows? There was a time when the hospital was still open that she appeared in the maternity ward in front of people. She was carrying a dead baby, and she was crying super hard. She may not know she's dead, or maybe she's just not able to accept her death and the baby's death.
That's really sad.
So we mentioned the staff still kind of being on the job even after they've died. Shadows of doctors and nurses have been seen throughout the building. Even before the hospital closed, an eyewitness account of a man said he woke up from surgery and noted two nurses standing there watching him, but then they faded before his eyes. Of course, that could have been anesthesia.
It could have been.
So.
Well, I mean, no wonder they're still walking the daggone halls. Nobody will fix it up. Nobody will tear it down. They're waiting for something to happen. That's frustrating.
Well, I'm sure it is. You know, but that goes like, no, I'm not going to get back into it. I was going to say, it's like if you've got a junk car that's got the engine blown and you don't have the money to fix the engine, you know, but you're not going to just throw the car away. You'll hold on to it rather than just throw it away. And that's kind of what's happening in this building.
That's dumb. Why are you going to hold on to a car and just leave it in your daggone driveway or to look like Sanford and Son? Why? Haul it off to the daggone junkyard and be done with it.
And get $50 for a car.
It doesn't matter.
Or $300 for a car that only needs an engine. and would run
okay,
fine.
Then he's going to, then the next time he sees something and he likes it and he can't get it fixed, and then he becomes a hoarder.
But you're just all over the place with this.
Well, I'm just saying, you can't hold on to everything. You have to let it go. Let it go.
Thank you guys so much. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Shoot.
As the holidays approach, it's time to return to the classics. Flaky pie crusts, perfectly browned butter, and cookies with just the right texture. And one ingredient you cannot compromise on is Kerrygold butter. Kerrygold butter is crafted with milk from grass-fed cows that graze on lush green pastures across family farms in Ireland. The result? A rich, creamy butter with a high butterfat content that elevates every recipe. Whether you're making signature shortbread or browning butter for a nutty depth in your pecan pie, Kerrygold makes all the difference. The flavor is unmatched, and the texture it brings to baked goods is simply divine. So this holiday season, if you're baking for loved ones or just for yourself, reach for Kerrygold. It's the butter of choice, and your pies, your cookies, and your cakes will thank you.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
SpinQuest Social Casino. The presents are open, and you're over the in-laws. It's a perfect time to grab your phone and play SpinQuest.com with live dealer blackjack, craps, and a ton of slots. And here's a great deal for the holiday, a $30 coin pack for $10. And if you're hearing this ad, you can play right now on SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SpinQuest Social Casino. The presents are open, and you're over the in-laws. It's a perfect time to grab your phone and play SpinQuest.com with live dealer blackjack, craps, and a ton of slots. And here's a great deal for the holiday, a $30 coin pack for $10. And if you're hearing this ad, you can play right now on SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.